Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from the team of Deutsche EuroShop in Hamburg. This is Willem Werner speaking, and I'm pleased to present you the preliminary results for 2018, which we have published yesterday evening. I'm here together with my colleague, Olaf Borkers, and Patrick Kiss, our head of IR. I'd like to start with the operations, and here with the retail turnover of our tenants and the split up by retail segments, which you will find on slide two. The operating numbers 2018 are, as already reported for Q3 and after the first half year of 2018, still disappointing. While the numbers have improved in Q4, the Christmas sales could not offset the low sales in the first nine months of last year. We have shared with you the obvious explanation already in November. Last year's extreme winter weather at the beginning of 2018 was immediately followed by the extreme summer conditions, which lasted well into the autumn. This was especially the case for Germany, but also to some extent for our other portfolio countries. The results were less customer traffic and correspondingly also less turnover for most of our tenants. Following the news of other market participants, one can see that this effect has not only influenced us, but especially the fashion and shoe segment. Let's now look into the details of the numbers. Starting with the overall picture, we have seen a minus of 2.2% for the absolute retail turnover of the portfolio, with an increase of 0.3% in our foreign centers and a decrease of 2.8% in Germany. On a like-for-like basis, our retailers last year saw a minus of 0.5% abroad and a minus of 2.8% in Germany. That's a total minus of 2.3% for our portfolio on a like-for-like basis. The performances for the various segments within our portfolio were as follows. In our German centers, and again, on a like-for-like basis, all but one sector saw lower numbers. Especially impacted were shoes and leather and fashion, as well as general retail, department stores, and hypermarkets, down between 4%-5.5%. Electronics came out with minus 2.3%. Sports and food catering reported 1.8% lower sales. Health and beauty was unchanged, while food and supermarkets lost 2.4%. Services saw a minus of 0.3%, which was driven by comparably better sales of travel agencies, which are in that segment and which performed not as bad as people used the nice weather to travel more. Besides all the efforts we made to further improve our centers and business, let's hope that the weather conditions in 2019 follow a more normal pattern. On the basis of the just reported turnover numbers, our rent-to-sales ratio now stands at 9.3% after 9.1% at year-end 2017. For the same reason mentioned before, our footfall numbers were lower as in comparison to last year. We saw a minus of 2.7% for Germany, and in our centers abroad, we saw a minus of 4%. Abroad, besides the climate impact, there were also special influence factors in the catchment area of our centers, which explain the effect. For example, in Klagenfurt, there are several big street construction projects in progress, one even materially disturbing the full regional traffic on the important highway heading in and out from Klagenfurt towards Vienna. While the large catchment area we address, or with a large catchment area we address, such big impediment is noticeable for the City Arcade in Klagenfurt. This is temporary, but it's there at the moment. As mentioned before, in Gdansk opened a new big center not too far away from the Galeria Bałtycka, so it's normal that many customers will find their way also to the new player in town, which will gradually normalize over time. So far, the operating numbers. Let's now look at our tenant base and the developments in the last year on page three. The changes in our tenant structure compared to the previous year were minimal. H&M is still our biggest tenant in terms of rental income, accounting now for 3.5% of our rents. H&M is followed by CECONOMY, with its brands MediaMarkt and Saturn, contributing 2.7% of our rental income. Our top 10 tenants now account for 22.2% after 21.8% end of 2017. As before, as a setup, and by the way, there was no visible change in our occupancy ratio, which was always around 99%. On page four, we now show into the maturity profile of our lease agreements. With 5.1 years of rental income supported by lease contracts, we feel comfortable going forward. There is an ongoing trend that some tenants now prefer shorter lease terms. On the one hand, they are aligning the lease terms more to their operational and market needs, for example, concerning the life cycle of their products and shop concepts. And of course, on the other hand, they also become more risk sensitive to the current market environment. However, such development does not need to have a negative impact in itself, as it can support a more frequent modernization of shop concepts. Now let's come to the financials and the preliminary results for 2018, and starting with the valuation of our shopping centers on slide 5. Some general remarks at the beginning. The year 2018 showed a visible decline for demand of shopping centers in Germany and a more normalized market situation in the other countries we are operating in. Correspondingly, on average, prices in Germany decreased just slightly, and this development and some adjustments in expectations for the development of rents, as well as some higher capex requirements, were the main drivers for the small depreciation of our assets in 2018. Overall, the valuation results was in comparison to the stock minus 1.4%, or an amount of 58.3 million euro, thereof minus 55.7 coming from the consolidated assets after minorities, and minus 2.6 coming from the assets held at equity. The small difference between the valuation result of 58.3, which I just mentioned, and the earlier announced 61 million resulted from small changes in the detailed accruals for the capex at year-end, which had not been finalized when we initially published the valuation result on 16th of January. But this is a rather small deviation. On page 6, we come now to the yields of our portfolio and the underlying major valuation parameters that have been applied by our valuators from Jones Lang LaSalle. In the chart, you see the development of the weighted NOI yields of our portfolio in gray and the net initial yield below that in blue. The weighted NOI yield of our portfolio now stands at 5.32% and the net initial yield at 5.01%. The average yield increase of 9 basis points for our portfolio reflects somewhat the situation in the investment market. However, it's fair to say that concerning this development, there are some different views among valuators and agents. The sensitivity of the valuation results to changes of the main value drivers of these valuations are provided in the table at the lower part of the slide. As you can see and would expect, the sensitivity is the highest for changes in assumptions of the rent developments and the discount and cap rates. After the valuation, I would like to now come to the P&L. And let's start on page 7 with our revenues. Our results for 2018 are slightly better than expected. Revenues increased by 3% or 6.5 million to now 225 million euro. Our guidance range was between 220 and 224 million. Here the major effect, that's 5.7 million, came from the acquisition of Olympia in Brno, which has been included in the consolidated figures since end of March 2017. However, also on a like-for-like, our like-for-like sales grew slightly by 0.4% or 800,000 euro. In the lower left, you will find the corresponding bridge, which is easy to construe. On the right side, we now show the share of the revenues between abroad and domestic sales, where you also can see the influence of the acquisition in the Czech Republic. Now, on a consolidated basis, 60% of our revenues come from abroad, and on a look-through basis, that's taking into account all revenues of our centers according to the effective participation in the properties, such number corresponds to 18%. On the next page, we show you the development of the EBIT that has increased, or that has more or less in line with the revenues. The EBIT increased more or less in line with revenues of 199.1 million, which corresponds to a plus of 3.5%. Here, our forecasted corridor was 193 to 197 million. Center operational costs in 2018, comprising mainly of center management fees, non-rechargeable ancillary costs, maintenance and write-downs on rent receivables, rose just slightly by 0.6 million to now 22.2 million and were basically in line with our projections or concerning write-downs even better. Other operating expenses amounted to 5.6 million, that is 1 million lower than the previous year level, and in the last year, in that period, we had still some one-off acquisition costs in connection with the acquisition of the Olympia Center that were included in 2017. Overall, Olympia Brno contributed this year 6.5 million to the increase of the EBIT. Now come to the financial results on the next page. And that came out with minus 38.2 million, which is 0.9 million better than in comparison to the financial year 2017. Major components are the operational at equity result, which now, before valuation, stands at 30.7 million euro, and also the interest cost, which now amount to minus 52.7 million. The results attributable to the minorities accounts for minus 18.4 million, while the remainder of plus 2.3 million comes from the valuation gain resulting from a P&L relevant swap agreement. The overall change of 0.9 million is easy to track by following the finance bridge on the lower left part of the slide. And starting from the left, we have paid 1.1 million more interest for Olympia, that is the interest for one additional quarter in 2018, and realized interest cost savings of 2.4 million for the rest of the portfolio, resulting from loan redemptions and conversions of the convertible bond in 2017, and of course improved interest rates realized in the course of refinancing. The operational at equity profit, excluding swaps, improved slightly by 0.4 million or 0.7%, and the swaps contributed 0.9 million less than last year. All other components remained rather unchanged to the prior year level. On slide 10, we have a closer look to the EBT, excluding valuation, and with 160.9 million, the EBT was also above the expected range of 154 to 157 million and rose nicely by 7.6 million, mainly in particular due to the portfolio expansion, some interest savings, and some like-for-like turnover growth. Olympia's contribution here was 5.5 million. Looking at the overall operating profit, that's the EPRA earnings on page 11, that has the following result. Operating profit excluding valuation increased from 141.3 to 147.4 million. And due to the higher number of shares issued, EPRA earnings per share fell slightly to now €2.39 after €2.41 in 2017. Here, the impact of the dilution of the convertible bond, which converted end of 2017, becomes visible. Now let's come to the consolidated profit of the group on slide 12. Consolidated profit decreased by 54.9 million and now stands at 79.4 million. It is best explained again to follow along the profit bridge. Olympia contributed an additional 4.8 million. The profit of other standing assets improved the result by a further 1.5 million. And here again, as said before, mainly due to interest cost savings and like-for-like turnover growth. The valuation result after tax accounted for minus 57.6 million to the change, and contained in that numbers are the capex relating to our mall beautification and energy service programs, which improve the attractiveness and the service quality of defined centers. Additionally, this number includes a one-off write-down in connection with the development costs for the plans to conduct a large extension of our center in Gdansk. These plans were stopped already in Q2 last year, and we have reported on that already earlier. All other changes resulting from non-efficient interest swaps and other deferred taxes were again rather small. So that leads to the earnings per share. They fell from €2.31 to €1.29. And here, of course, besides the significant valuation result that decreased the per share view, that was also affected here by the convertible bond, as explained before. Now, if you want to follow me to the next page and to look at the development of the FFO, The FFO is, of course, one key number for us to look at, as it's the basis for distribution of dividends, the repayment of scheduled loan amortizations, and the financing of investments. And 2018, the FFO rose from 148.1 to now 150.4 million. That's also slightly above our guidance of 145 to 148. But looking at the FFO per share, we see a decline from €2.54 to €2.43, again resulting from the dilutive convertible bond. However, due to the good operational result, we also ended up above our guidance, which was €2.35 to €2.39. And for your interest, if you want to see the more detailed calculation, you'll find it on the right hand of the slide. After the P&L, now let's go to the balance sheet. There were not too many changes. Our asset base was nearly unchanged at 4.6 billion as at end of last year. Current and non-current financial liabilities stood at 1.52 billion, which was around 24 million lower than at the end of 2017, following scheduled repayments. Non-current deferred tax liabilities increased by 12.8 million to now 452.6 million, mainly resulting from the regular tax depreciation. Other current and non-current liabilities and provisions also remained rather unchanged. The total equity, including minorities, now stands at 2.57 billion and was also almost unchanged. As you can see, our equity ratio remained at a strong 55.8%, and the consolidated LTV now stands at 31.8%. On a look-through basis, that's the LTV calculated fully proportionally according to our group share and all assets, the LTV now stands at 34%, also a very reasonable number. On slide 15, we show you our EPRA NAV, which remains nearly unchanged at 2.67 billion, or on a per share basis at 43.17 euro. And that's mainly because the positive group result and the dividend payment affected in 2018, as well as the changes in the deferred tax liabilities, almost netted out. So far, our balance sheet. I would like to give you on the next two pages some more information on our debt. Of our consolidated bank debt, some 835 million become due in the next 5 years. We still see, as in the recent past, potential for some reductions in our interest cost over the next years. Currently, our consolidated debt bears an average interest rate of 2.72%, which is already well below the average interest rate that we have reported over the last years. Our weighted maturity of our loan portfolio now stands at 5.4 years. Given the current interest rate environment and quotations from banks, we could currently refinance our debt around 1.5 to 2% per annum for 10 years in Germany, and in CEE around 25 to 50 bips above that. So we are on a good way to show you further improvements in the course of the year, as and when we will accomplish new closings for some refinancing. I want to finish this presentation with the financials with our forecast for 2019, which you'll find on slide 18. We confirm our targets for the current financial year and anticipate revenues between 222 and 226 million. EBIT should come in between 194 and 198 million, and we expect EBT excluding valuations to be between 158 and 161 million. FFO per share is expected to come out between €2.40 and €2.43, and for the total FFO, we forecast between 148 and 151 million. So far, the preliminary numbers will now provide you with, or will provide you with further details in our annual report, which we'll publish end of April, or April 29th, to be precise. And by then, we also plan to issue our financial forecast for the year 2020. Let's come to the outlook for this year on the next page. Looking at the operations, we continue to roll out our mall beautification and as-you-service programs. Currently, the main activities are happening in the Altmark Gallery in Dresden, and the Billstedt Center in Hamburg, the Heinecker Zentrum in Viernheim, and the Herold Center in Norderstedt. And additionally, this year we'll plan to start the programs in three more centers, namely the ones in Hamm, Dessau, and Neuenkirchen. While we in general make good progress with such programs, we had hoped to be a bit quicker. We mentioned that also earlier. But as it turns out, that we need to be a bit more patient in some cases. As for many measures that we plan, we need to apply for building permits, especially in most of the cases the fire protection is involved. So this needs to be considered, and we need to apply for those permits, which is a more lengthy process sometimes. Nevertheless, we are on good track, and the first qualitative surveys show that our customers and shoppers like the new services and atmosphere improvements very much. On the financing side, we are currently working on a refinancing of a total amount of 174 million maturing in 2020 and 22, and expect to sign it during the first half of this year. As said before, banking market is still positive, and we are confident to agree on attractive terms with the bank here. Finally, we look forward to be able to increase the dividend to €1.50 for 2018, and we also plan to further increase the dividend to €1.55 for the year 2019. At the end now for today, and last but not least, you're kindly invited to join our sixth edition of our Real Estate Summer on 5th and 6th of September this year. We'd like to show you the Rhein-Neckar Zentrum, the Forum Wetzlar, and the Main-Taunus Zentrum, including our latest updates on our programs. And, of course, we'll provide you with a nice and informative supporting program with speakers and presentations. One topic will be the digital mall, our step forward to integrate on an offline shopping center. So, thank you for listening, and I'm now happy to take your questions. Operator, please go ahead.
First question comes from the line of Thomas Neuhold with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. I have basically two. Firstly, I was wondering if you can give us an indication what the like-for-like rental growth was in your German wars. And related to that, on page 6 in the valuation report, currently the valuer has a long-term rental growth assumption of 1.33%. In the model, how realistic you think this rental growth rate is achievable? What has to happen that you can achieve more than 1% rental growth going forward, given that you're currently below that level? And then I was wondering if you can give us an update on the capex needed in 2019 for the mall beautification program, and where do you stand generally in terms of your mall beautification program, how many more years will it run, and what total capex could be involved with that? Thank you.
Yeah, so starting with the first question, the like-for-like rental growth, it's pretty stable over the portfolio looking at Germany and abroad. We have some centers in Germany that it's still so nice, let's say, a little more visible like-for-like growth. We have others where we give in a little bit at the moment, but this is all no dramatic effects. And so also the foreign centers, they have a nice small like-for-like growth, but there are no big, let's say, variances in the portfolio. Yeah, there's one and the other performing a little better than the other, but we have no star outperforming with extreme growth, and we have, on the other hand, no, let's say, candidate which looks too dramatic from the downside. So it's all very balanced. Yeah, the valuation, of course, I mean, the model our valuators employ is, of course, a discounted cash flow model, which also uses, of course, inflation. So if you say that average inflation probably is higher than that, and of course everybody has an opinion on mid- and long-term inflation, that tells you that they are planning probably to be a bit below that when it comes to the rent development. I mean, it's always to be adjusted over time, but they have to take assumptions over the mid- and long-term to come up with their long- and mid-term valuation. As I've said before, at the moment we expect the rents a little more to be flattish. However, after the, let's say, mid-time period, I don't see when this e-commerce, let's say the proportion within the various segments have divided themselves more or less, what stays offline, what is online, looking at mall digital or digital mall and other aspects where all those things grow together, I don't see why we shouldn't come back to a more, let's say, higher like-for-like growth rates in comparison to the one or the flattish picture we have now in the near and in the midterm. Yeah, so I don't see that as unrealistic. However, of course, it's a kind of model with an average growth rate which is employed here. For the CapEx, we have said before, we plan to have 25 to 30 million per annum over the next 5 years. Of course, this is a rolling model, and we wanted to invest a little more upfront. I've told you why we're not as quick as we probably would like to be, but I think that number is still a fair value to assume for the planning period. If we can be quicker and we start 3 projects, as I mentioned before, this year, we'll do so. Yeah, so I think it's a reasonable estimate for the time being for on a per annum basis.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Georg Kanders with Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead. Mr. Kanders, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello from Düsseldorf. It's just a question regarding, are there substantial sales-related rents in the last quarter? How do they compare to last year?
I didn't get the first part of the sentence. Are there
substantial sales-related rents?
No, they are pretty much on the level of previous year, maybe some 10% deviation. So we're happy to see those coming in, because I've reported earlier in that call that sales were not as good. We've talked about the reasons. So we estimated that, we're happy to see how they came in on pretty much the same level.
Could you remind me of the absolute number, was it?
2.2 million.
Is it this year? Okay. I think it was 2.4 million last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much.
Next question comes from line of Jochen Schmidt with Metzler. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. I have 2 questions. The first one is on your revenue outlook for 2019. Do you imply any negative like-for-like rental income this year, or are you just on the cautious side with regard to your outlook? Or are there any minor non-recurring items also included in 2018, which we should not expect to occur again in 2019? And the second question, very briefly, you have a minor reclassification on your retail turnover 2018, department stores and hypermarket. Could you just comment on the reclassification? Thank you.
Yeah, let me start with the last one, because very easy. It's not really a reclassification. It's we were always asked what's our exposure to department stores, and we used the department stores also for the big supermarkets. So there is no change. What we added that included in that segment are not only the department stores, but also the huge supermarkets, which we have in some centers. So you can compare the numbers 1-to-1, but the explanation is better. On the other hand, having said that, our exposure to department stores is very low in terms of rental turnover. Yeah. With one-offs, I mean, in our turnover figures, we also have these penalties when tenants leave the center earlier, this is a number which is very hard to predict. It's a little less than 1 million every year. So this could be considered as a non-recurring item. It has been a little higher in the last years when there were more changes to that aspect. And, of course, turnover rents is a little more, of course, variable. The name says it. So it really depends on the inflation going forward and penalties and turnover rents being the most flexible part. They are harder to estimate. And on the other hand, we have again proven that we have a very stable model. We are by ourselves, a little positively surprised. But on the other hand, we have news in the market. There are some tenants struggling. And of course, they are also in some of our centers. So we stay a bit cautious of that end. But I mean, it's if you take the mid guidance now, and let's say 2018 in the mid guidance, and this penalty effect, you're probably again, if you correct for that, again in the mid guidance of what we have set for this year. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Thomas Effler with Oddo. Please go ahead. Mr. Effler, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. You mentioned that some tenants are struggling. Do you have already some cancellations from Gary Weber? And do you have any new tenants for these outlets? The second question regarding the shopping center market, regarding the cap rates, how you see the prices in the market. I mean, you mentioned that according to your calculations, you see lower prices and slightly higher cap rates. And the third one, you mentioned that the renovation is coming, is well received from the clients. Do you see what is the frequency in your shopping centers where you did the renovations? Do they increase or are they stable or how do they develop? Thanks.
Yeah. Let's start with the tenants that are struggling a bit. I mean, you all read the newspapers and you know whom we're talking about. The name you just mentioned, I think you can accept or will accept that we cannot comment on that. It's not that old that they have filed for insolvency. We are, of course, in contact with our asset manager and they are in contact with Gary Weber. We have to wait how this develops. Gary Weber said they want to restructure. And they will come up with proposals. And of course, we're always looking at the spaces, what we could do elsewhere with them, but it's way too early. So let's wait for the restructuring proposal and then we'll look at it. And maybe just to give you a flavor, Gary Weber, the brand itself account for, 0.7% of our total turnover. That gives you a little bit the sensitivity, the maximum sensitivity if you think about in scenarios.
Yeah.
The renovations and the frequencies, I mean, it's too early. We just finished in Magdeburg the full program as first center. The other ones will follow, let's say, in the first half of this year. And frequencies you need to follow over, let's say, a bit longer time series. And, of course, we had these extraordinary effects last year from the hot summer. So we'll have to follow that. That will be very interesting. But I think at the end will be hard to calculate that special effect out of that. But of course we look at those numbers. But what we do, or when I say we, ECE is doing, they do of course surveys. They talk to the people, they get feedback, whether it's on Instagram, whether they talk, send emails, and it's well received, that our centers would have been in good shape, but are now in a very fresh shape where we do that. And, I think we get, especially also for the services, it's not how they look, but with this all improvements when you look for parking, navigation, orientation, I think that's well received. So I think this confirms that we're on the right track. Yeah, and then talking cap rates and prices, yeah, if you just knew them, at the moment, as I mentioned before, there's hardly any turnover in Germany of bigger shopping centers at the moment. If you talk to agents, they think that the market will be slow also this year. How that at the end relate to prices, we have never guided on that before, but of course we don't expect prices to rise at the moment. So let's see whether it stabilizes or whether there are some other effects coming up to us.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Kai Klose with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I've got a question regarding the lease expiries you show on page number 4. From your contact with the tenants, what have you received so far regarding their willingness to extend or to potentially move out? Also in the context of the increased rent-to-sales ratio, What are the comments of your feedback? What is the feedback of the tenants, and what do you expect in terms of rent levels and also in terms of lease maturities? And I think I missed the answer on the first question. What was the split of the like-for-like rental growth between Germany and the non-German malls?
And we have a like-for-like growth of, let's say, 0.4% overall. So we would have to mathematically split that up, but we look from a portfolio view on that. So it's a bit higher in abroad than it's in Germany. Yeah, and we could prepare that number to you, but even I think in the German centers we saw on average slightly like-for-like growth. And the first, the releasing you're talking about and the maturity profile. The best number to measure that is that we're just 2 months in this year are fully leased. So people stay or we find new replacements for the tenants. So what we see is, and you also see that we still show some slight like-for-like growth, so that on average we can keep the rental level or even slightly improve it. However, there are shifts. I would say it's no secret that the pressure on rents is higher in shoes, leather, and textile. On the other hand, we have good performers over mid-series. Yeah, last year was bad for many of the tenants because of the weather conditions, but on average, health, drugstores, beauty, and they all perform fine, so we get nicer increases there. So, but on average, we are slightly in a plus. Yeah, and with the maturity profile, as I also said before, of course, some tenants get more risk-averse or just want to extend for 5 years or sometimes 7.5 years or have some break, make 10 years, have some break options. So this increases a little bit. But again, here the best number is to look at the average, vault that we have, which is a little above 5%, which still is a good number, but came down in the last years. And I expect the trend to be more going towards shorter extensions on average in comparison to 5 or 10 years ago, which is also not a surprise. But all on stable levels. If you look at the walls of other, let's say, peers of us or where you can get the data, I think with 5 years we are well positioned. Yeah.
Yeah. And my last question would be, could you indicate what was the rental arrears? What were the rental arrears in 18 compared to 17?
Can you explain what you mean with arrears?
Or the outstanding rents or the lost rents?
The loss of rents, sorry. It's less than 0.5%. Sorry. The write-downs, yeah. Again, a very low number. So it was around 1 million, which is, if you compare that to 220... 5 million turnover, 0.5%, which is a very good number.
Thanks so much.
Next question comes from line of Michael Tonchev with Kempen. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Just a couple of questions from me. First one is really a clarification. Does your 2019 FFO guidance include any projected refinancing savings? Because you mentioned you're going to work on about 164 million in the first half.
We have the first refinancing 2019 starting in August 2019. It's already refinanced with 2.2%. This is included. And for all the other loans maturing 2020 and the following, we have an indication of 3% or an assumption of 3%. Though, to be fair, currently we are negotiating for loans maturing 2020 and 22, and the current indication is 1.5% for 10 years maturity.
Okay, and that's okay. That's very clear. Switching gears. So you mentioned earlier on that there were quite a few different views between the valuers when the valuation was done. Can you maybe just elaborate what the different views are, and perhaps is it on the ERV growth side? Is it more on the yield side because there's a lack of comparable transactions, or is it more on the CapEx side of the equation, or is it all three?
Yeah, I haven't done a scientific survey on that, but I was talking about yields. Yeah, and there was a little bit of discussion in the real estate press But if you look at the peers that have also that are public and have some centers in Germany, they all devaluated just a bit like we, in more or less in the same amount. It was more about yields. And obviously some of the agents still think that last year some yields, especially for trophy assets, have improved. That might be true. But as there were no so much a deal flow, the question was already the turning point in 2018? Will it happen in 2019? So again, not very dramatic, let's say, switches up and down. But as it was overall a turning point for us, I thought it was fair just to mention that there are, yeah, probably other views, but not dramatic other views. Yeah.
Okay, that's very clear. And just last one for me. So you're in a pretty reasonably strong financial position, so 34% look-through LTV. Could you remind us of, and I know you have quite a few financings on asset level, but can you remind us of the debt covenants on the LTV side of the equation and even on the net interest coverage?
Yes, we have a few, very few loans or agreements with LTV covenants, and the LTV covenants are at around 60 to 70%.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, we are by far below these levels.
Yeah. And on an net interest coverage basis?
That is what ICR is roughly 100-200%, and we are by far above that.
Yeah.
The actual figures, I have that in my. You have 1 minute.
Yeah.
Yes. ICR has to be minimum 150%. And we are currently at a level of 360%.
Perfect. And that's an important point. Thanks for taking my questions.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to hand back to Mr. Wilhelm for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you for dialing in. We're happy to show you good numbers for 2018, even though in a tough environment. I will work hard that this goes forward positively. Wish you a good rest of the week, and hello to Düsseldorf, okay? Thank you, bye-bye.